Hello, friends. Welcome back to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from BBS Radio with my good friends, Don and Doug. They provide such wonderful help, and I want to thank them both so much for their beautiful support. Earlier today on my English show from 10 a.m. to after 1 o'clock, we had an amazing show with Ole Domegaard, and then we went over a whole bunch of issues with the shots. In this program, I'll be playing a message that was sent to me from Australia, from the Australian Aborigines. And it's just fascinating. We weren't able to play it earlier because YouTube had taken it off their servers, but I found another copy of it on BitChute. So we'll play that here in a few minutes. And I want to thank everyone so much for all their beautiful love and support. I know that if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier world. The purpose of this show is to make this planet a much better and happier place. And I'm pleased to tell you that with today's show, we have a little over 10 million listeners in over 100 countries. So I really appreciate all your love and support. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit, listener-supported show. And all your donations are really appreciated from the bottom of my heart. If you'd like to support the show, just go to my BBS website, or you can go to my other website, my regular website at outofthisworldradio.net. And we're going to be going over not only the messages from the Aboriginals here in a few minutes, but also who owns the media here in the United States and the world. We'll have playing a segment on that, and followed by a wonderful interview I had recently with Jody O'Malley. She's with the American Frontline Nurses, and she'll be talking about a lot of her issues as a registered nurse. She's a wonderful lady, and I'm so glad that she'll be on. So let's go ahead and play that first segment we've got with the Aborigines. Just to preface it to you, that they say that this is a message to all peoples on the planet, that your DNA is sacred, and it's crucial to maintain your connection to self, to your country, and to your spirit, to protect your DNA and stand in your free power. And I'll explain that in a minute. They say no to coercion and yes to the freedom of choice. United we stand. And the reason they're saying that is because the corrupt Australian government is now sending the police and the military into these Aboriginal preserves and forcing them, coercing them to get the shot. And they know the Aborigines are very intelligent, and they've known for a long time that this entire shot program is to alter people's DNA and separate their soul from their DNA. I'll be going into that after the segment here. It's about 9 minutes long. And as I said before, it has been taken off the air by YouTube, but fortunately we found I found another copy on BitChute, so we can play that. And we'll be going that in just a minute. But Don, if you could go ahead and play that, and I'll come back in about 9 minutes. Thank you, Don, so much.
Tingela, ngai ngeri ni yang ngai Lewis Walker, ngai ngai walabel ngai baigal ni, nanya ngai wumi ngai jagan ngai jublam ngai jagan. As the chairperson of Gunyang Ali, as in co-op in Jublam community, a message for all of our communities out there, the desert mob. Up north, out west, down south, and the East Coast mob of Australia. Left and right, black and white. It doesn't matter now, we've got to unite and be strong together.
I'm Auntie Robin Elizabeth Stone Kay. I'm the custodian and guardian all the way from South Tweed Heads to Point Byron. I went up to Jumbullen because I'd heard that the police and the army was up there. They offered $700 to get the COVID shot. I'm a bit upset about this, I'll admit it. But I'm a peaceful demonstrator, and I believe in peace for the world. not just here. It's going on all over the world.
Tingavela, Yukumbe, Banam. My name is S. Roberts. I'm not from this area from where Uncle Lewis lives. I'm a visitor from the Waibal clan to the township of Nimbin. I don't feel like the Jap. Yeah. I hope you guys don't feel like the Japs either.
My name is Cindy Roberts. My Aboriginal name is Mebungari, and she's the woman eagle, and I'm a Widjibal Waibal descent. I'm a descendant of the Bundjalung Nation because my blood runs through all this country because of my forefathers. And all our people, they need to come back to truth because we all one mob.
Well, I should have been notified and all our other elders 3, maybe 4 months in advance to let us know that it was going to come into our community. We had 3 different other communities that was coming to our community, one from Drake, Alba, Malangani, and villages up in the mountains, Uinga, and Fridigali. We had them people coming to our community.
As for putting a COVID checking place on an Aboriginal reserve, which they're not allowed on in the first place, and then bringing other people from around the area, one I know of, Drake, already has COVID, and they're bringing them on our mission to test them.
So we wanted our community to be locked down before the other people bring that into our community. Our community wasn't neutral ground for this kind of stuff. We weren't prepared for this kind of stuff.
This jab, they call it the vaccine. But truth be known, we know it's not a vaccine because it goes against the Nuremberg Code. They are in breach and violation of the Nuremberg Code. If it does not cure and it does not prevent what's going on right now with the coronavirus, and it's not helping the people but killing and poisoning the people, then you know something's wrong.
Now, if that's not genocide, I'll stand on my head. How's that?
It's not going to take only one jab. If you look on the side of those little bottles, it says up to 7 times. So you got to be at least get up to 7 times the jab, then it might work.
It's medical genocide that they're committing. If you don't want to take the jab, then it's your right to say no. Don't let them force this upon you because they have no law in this country.
You can go to places like this, hang out, even go to the beach, hang out away from civilization, all those rat race, and you can live to 100 without getting one jab. The only thing that's going to muck this up is Centrelink, because they'll be saying you've got to have the jab if you want to get paid. The government has always got these little schemes. Of course, of the act that they broke under the human rights in our constitution in 1946 referendum, there was a clause added to section 51 of the constitution which prevents the government from forcing people to medicate. At that time, another amendment that was given to the constitution in section 51A allows for the granting of various social service, what we call social security back in them days, to authorize any form of civil conscription. This means that the government or those acting on his behalf cannot force you to have a child vaccinated in order to maintain benefit payments.
I feel sorry for all Australians. feel sorry for my people. Because we're all, you know, we're all going through this together now. It's just not a black thing, but it's an everybody thing.
This has been going on for a long while. I want all of this stopped, not only for our children and our people, but for other people too. And they ain't going to kill us off our land. I'll fight. I don't care if I have to get up in front of a courthouse and call them all sons of bitches. They cannot wipe our race up because they stole our land. And that's all they've been doing ever since they stole it, is trying to wipe us off the face of the earth. I will not stand for it.
And for a beautiful country like this, I love it. But don't forget, we also got the cure for it. As a Jubilant Bible, as a Tabula man, I would like to bring forward and put a recommendation in to this government. Neutral ground next time, not in our community. Next time in a public town, public place. We could have added over town at the football oval. We could have added over town at the race course and set up in proper manner, instead of bringing it into our community, where they could have brought the virus into our community without none of our people knowing. It's only heads up for the people who doesn't understand. Heads up and be aware of our community, and letting people come into our community without authorization. Thank you for listening, and more to come. Yoi, Bogolbe.
Like to make a couple of comments on that. YouTube took it off, and we're going to go into the reasons why in a few minutes. But before I do, I want to let people know that I think the same situation is happening now on many, many Native American communities in North America, where they're getting the jab as well. And a lot of them are dying off, but it's quieter there because the media, of course, is not covering it. And it's unfortunate, it's sad and unfortunate that our government is also targeting these beautiful Aboriginal people here in North America as well. I think this is one of the greatest crimes in this century, and certainly for many thousands of years, that they're actively pushing a program where it's been documented that millions of people now are either injured or dying from this shot. And it's totally unnecessary for them to do it, except to exterminate us. I think that Aboriginal lady from Australia was right about the Nuremberg Code. After World War II and what the Nazis did in horrendous medical experiments during their reign in Germany, they experimented on people without their knowledge or informed consent. And they're doing that today, too, with this so-called with these so-called shots, which are nothing more than experimental drugs, which haven't been proven. And like the Nazis in World War II, our government, the Biden government, the state governments across the country are issuing orders, mandates without any legal authority whatsoever. I challenge anyone from the federal government or state government to show the legal authority that they have to mandate these shots and even the masks. There's no authority for it whatsoever. If you do a little research, you'll find out they have no authority at all. I've mentioned this before from my Pleiadian scientist friends. They say that once you take one of these shots, your soul separates from your body. This is alien technology developed many millions of years ago by the reptilians and other negative elements. And your soul leaves your body in a sequence. Before the shot, your soul is 100% attached to your body. After taking it within a month, your soul, 8% of your soul leaves your body, so that you only have 92% of your soul. Then it drops down to 78%, or you've 22% of your soul's left your body. Then it drops down to 52%, where you have only a little more than half of your soul left. And then it goes down to 38%, where you only have 38% of your soul left in your body. And 62% of your soul has left your body. Then it goes down to 19%. And so that you only have 19% of your soul left in your body, or 81% of your soul has left. And after that, it goes down to zero, where 100% of your soul has left your body, and you become a zombie. As Ole Domegaard was saying on my earlier English show today, he said that the cabal, the negatives, always like to tell you ahead of time what they're going to do. And Hollywood, of course, had many movies the last 10, 20 years on zombies. How many times have you heard about a zombie movie? Well, you become a zombie after about 5 or 6 months in most cases, because it takes that long for your soul to leave your body. And once your soul has left your body, you are technically spiritually dead, and many people will die as a result of that. I did some research on what Rudolf Steiner said in 1917 about all this. He was a famous fellow. He was able to time travel, and he went to this time and talked about it. What was interesting is that what he wrote in his books coincides with what Q has told me recently about what life was like during the last days of Atlantis. He said during the last days of Atlantis, it was almost exactly the way it is now, where their scientists back in the days of Atlantis actually gave their population a shot like the one today that removed people's souls from their body, and many people died as a result. Rudolf Steiner also had a lot of interesting things to say about it as well. He said that there was black magic practiced during the Atlantean time, and they would do horrible things to people and create a lot of clones, just like they're doing today. I've gotten the messages recently that China's population, much of it is cloned. About 50% of its population is cloned, because it's a reptilian government, as well as their military. Much of their military is cloned as well. So if they have a war and people die, who cares? They can just make some more humans. One of the prime messages of Rudolf Steiner and that of Jesus was to look inward into your soul, your connection with God. But with these shots, they're removing your connection with God, because they completely destroy your pineal gland, completely destroy all of your 8 chakras. So you become basically like a zombie, unable to communicate with God or anything in the spiritual world. This is a real battle going on right now for the minds and hearts of people. And one of the problems, as illustrated by the censorship by YouTube of that Aboriginal video we just saw, is that they took it off the air. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would YouTube take that video off the air? I liked it. They didn't incite any violence. They were talking about the right of their Aboriginal communities to determine their own, make their own decisions for their health and welfare of their communities. So what was the problem with it? I don't see any problem with it. But if you look at the ownership of YouTube and other large media outlets, they're at the very, very top, behind the corporations, and you go all the way up to the ladder. What Q tells me that there's no humans running it, that they are actually aliens, negative aliens, who are thousands of years old, who don't have any names. They're the ones in charge. And he says this is an alien run planet. And the sooner people realize this, the sooner they'll wake up and get and gain their freedom back. And what I'd like to do now is to go ahead and play. This is a video. If we could play this, it's called Monopoly, Who Owns the World? It's funny, but it's available on YouTube of all places, so it's still available. But if we could run it from, it's about an hour and a half, but we could just run it from 10 minutes in to 20 minutes would be great, and then I'll come back. And it shows you why alternative media outlets like my radio's program and other excellent radio programs are so important right now, because I do everything I can to get the truth out to people, to raise consciousness, and help in the ascension. If we could start 10 minutes in and then run it to 20 minutes. So anyway, I hope that's, yeah, thanks, Don. I don't mean to be confusing. So started at 10 minutes in, then stop at 20 minutes in. So that'll be covering the media part, give you an idea of who really controls the media here in the United States and elsewhere. Thanks, Don, so much. If you could run that, that'd be great.
Whether the world's largest solar panel producers or the largest oil refineries, the shares are managed by the same companies. They own the tobacco companies, who produce all the popular tobacco brands in the world. But they also own all the major companies in the pharmaceutical industry and the scientific institutes that produce the drugs. They own the companies that produce our metals and raw materials, and the entire automobile, aircraft, and arms industry where those metals and raw materials are processed. They own the companies that build our electronics. They own the big department stores and online marketplaces. And even the payment methods that we use to pay for their products. Because I want to keep my story as short as possible, I've decided to only show the tip of the iceberg. If you decide to investigate on your own, using the sources that you've just seen, then you will discover that even many of the most well-known insurance companies, banks, construction companies, telephone companies, restaurant chains, and cosmetic brands are owned by the same institutional investors we just saw. These institutional investors are, as I told you earlier, mainly investment companies, banks, and insurance companies. They are in turn also owned by shareholders. Now, what is the most amazing thing? All of these institutional investors own each other's shares, and together they form an immense network that we can compare to a pyramid. The smaller institutional investors are owned by larger investors, who in turn belong to even larger investors. The visible top of this pyramid consists of only two companies, and we have seen their names many times by now. They are Vanguard and BlackRock. The power of these two companies is something we can barely imagine. Not only are they the largest institutional investors of every major company on Earth, they also own the other institutional investors of those companies, giving them a complete monopoly. According to a report by Bloomberg, one of the most respected institutions in the world in the field of financial data and analytics, experts expect that by 2028, both companies will collectively manage about $20 trillion in investments, and in the process will own almost everything on Earth. The same Bloomberg called BlackRock the fourth arm of government, because it is the only non-government entity that has a close relationship with the federal banks, also called the central banks. BlackRock not only lends money to the federal banks, but is also their principal advisor and the developer of the computer system that the federal banks use. Dozens of BlackRock employees had senior positions in the White House during the Bush and the Obama administrations, and currently under Joe Biden. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink is a welcome guest with many heads of state and politicians, and understandably so, he's the face of the company that pulls the strings. Yet Larry Fink does not pull the strings himself. In fact, BlackRock itself is owned by shareholders. And if we look at who those shareholders are, we come to a strange conclusion. We see that BlackRock's largest shareholder is Vanguard, and this is where it gets dark. Vanguard itself has a unique structure that makes it impossible to see who its shareholders or clients are. The elite who own Vanguard don't want anyone to know that they are the owners of the most powerful company on earth. But of course, this is no secret to those who are willing to look into it. Reports by Oxfam and Bloomberg show that 1% of the world's population collectively owns more money than the other 99%. Indeed, Oxfam claims that as much as 82% of all the money earned in 2017 went to this 1% of people. Naturally, those who own the most powerful company on earth would also be the richest among this 1%. In other words, they are part of the 0.001%. Forbes, the most well-known business magazine in the world, claims that by March 2020 there were some 2,075 billionaires. Oxfam's report showed that two-thirds of all these billionaires obtained their fortune through inheritances and monopolies. So this means that Vanguard is in the hands of the richest families on earth. If we study their history, we discover that these families have always belonged to the top of the pyramid, some even well before the Industrial Revolution began. Because their history is so interesting and extensive, I will explain some more about them in the follow-up video that I'm currently working on. But in order not to elaborate too far, I will just point out that many of these families belong to royal bloodlines and they are the founders of our banking system, the United Nations, and every industry in the world. These families never lost their power, but because of an increasing world population, they were forced to hide behind investment companies such as Vanguard, whose largest shareholders are the private funds and non-profit organizations of these families. To make the bigger picture more clear, I need to briefly explain something about these non-profit organizations. These are the links that connect the business community with politics and the media, allowing major conflicts of interest. At first glance, however, this is not too noticeable. Nonprofits, also called foundations, are organizations that rely on donations, and they do not have to publish from whom they receive those donations. They can invest this money in whatever they want, and do not have to pay tax on their profits as long as those profits are reinvested in other projects that they are involved in. Nonprofits can move hundreds of billions of dollars from invisible investors. According to a report by the Australian government, this makes nonprofit organizations ideal to finance terrorist groups and launder large sums of money. The foundations and funds of the families who are highest in the hierarchy of the 1% hide behind the scenes as much as possible. However, for cases that have a lot of publicity and attention, they use the foundations of philanthropist families that are lower in the ranking, but who are also extremely wealthy. In order to be concise, I will only highlight the three most important foundations in the world that connect all the industries in the world to each other. These are the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Open Society Foundations of the controversial multi-billionaire George Soros.
Every time you drive by an empty or abandoned mall, start visualizing King Kong-sized dollar signs. As out of the...
Here we go. We've got to get the commercials on.
The Clinton Foundation.
Right.
A very brief introduction to give you an idea of the size of these types of foundations. According to the official website of the World Economic Forum, the Gates Foundation is the largest funder of the World Health Organization, after President Donald Trump halted the funding of the WHO by the US in 2020. This makes the Gates Foundation one of the most influential organizations in the world in the area of everything that relates to our health. The Gates Foundation has a close partnership with the 16 largest pharmaceutical companies in the world, including Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, BioNTech, and Bayer, and we have just seen who owned the most shares of these companies. Bill Gates was anything but a poor computer nerd who made it to one of the richest people in the world. But he came from a philanthropic family that, just like himself, worked for the absolute elite. Bill is the founder of Microsoft, which is owned by BlackRock, Vanguard, and until recently, Berkshire Hathaway. But at the same time, the Gates Foundation is the largest shareholder after BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street in Berkshire Hathaway, where he was even on the board for a while. We would spend hours if we considered everything the Gates Foundation, the Open Society Foundations of George Soros, and the Clinton Foundation are involved in. But because they connect us with the next topic and with the current events, this brief introduction was important.
That's fine, Don. We've got, that goes on for about an hour and a half. And I just wanted to give people a taste of that because the media is controlled in this world. And if they don't like something they don't want you to know about, they'll strike it off like they did with this Australian Aborigine message, which I looked at as completely harmless. And people should know about it. At any rate, that's why alternative media programs like my own is, I think, so important. And I want to thank you so much for all your beautiful love and support. You know, when I started this show 8 years ago, the purpose was and has been and always will be to help with the ascension and to raise consciousness to make this world a better place. Because I think most people are genuinely concerned about each other and they want to make this planet a better place. My next interview is with Jody O'Malley. She's a nurse with the American Frontline Nurses. They're like America's frontline doctors who've been very vocal in getting people help for the shedding and for the shots as well. And she's got a unique perspective, and I think you'll really enjoy her interview. It runs for about 38 minutes. So, Don, if we could play that now, that would be great. And then I'll come back in about 38 minutes. So thank you so much, Don, for your wonderful help. Really appreciate it. Hello, friends. I'm with Jody O'Malley today, an RN, and she's going to give a fantastic presentation on her experiences dealing with the shot and the virus and all kinds of other things that I don't think people are aware of. Jody, thank you so much for taking the time off and being with me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background, if you don't mind?
Yes, my nursing background. I am a master's prepared registered nurse. I am specialized in several different areas, ICU, emergency room, pre-op, PACU, mm-hmm. chemotherapy, pain management, and drug and detox.
Okay, great. And recently, where have you been working?
Well, I still do. I'm just on investigational leave with Phoenix Indian Medical Center. It's a government facility in Phoenix that takes care of our Native American population.
Oh, how nice. How nice. And what have you seen there recently during this pandemic?
Oh, many different things. It started off saying that it's novel. There's this respiratory virus. I've seen a lot of unscientific measures being taken by not only them, but the world. We've had three different, what we would call waves of sick people coming into the hospital several times. Pretty much our whole hospital was COVID positive patients.
I see. Was that according to the PCR test?
Correct.
I see. Mm-hmm. That test, as you know, is 97% false positives.
Yes. There's no standard anywhere for PCR testing. Yeah. And our facility had really high cycle threshold times.
So. I see. Mm-hmm. Well, Jody, I've heard good things about you. You gave a presentation recently in Las Vegas, but tell me about what you talked about. I didn't see your presentation, but I heard it was quite good.
I just talked about my background, coming from being a bedside nurse and now the Lord seems to want me to speak the truth to the world. I've been screaming the truth of unscientific measures from the very beginning, mask, putting it on, you know, asymptomatic people, you know, the 6 foot distancing that was just arbitrarily made up.
Right.
You know, asymptomatic transmission, which isn't a driver of any pandemic. We were just told that we could kill grandma if we don't wear a mask and stay home. And I finally had spoken out once I saw the different policy changes and everything that was in the hospital.
Interesting. What's it, has this whole scamdemic, has it hit Native American communities more than other people, or what have you seen there in the hospital?
I believe it has. From all the research and that I've done, both clinically and, just educating myself, I believe Native Americans are the highest risk population in the world. We got our first wave when they shut down the reservation in June. I believe from what we've seen and what we do know now to be true that this virus was on our soil back in 2019 in that winter. And, you know, it, when we had so many patients that were so many symptomatic patients that were just diagnosed with viral illnesses or bronchitis or pneumonia. I too got sick at that time. And so I think we were, you know, like every virus that goes through society, we were handling it. And then in June, they shut down.
Is that 2020 or 2021?
This was 2019 into 2020. So fall of 19 into the winter of 2020.
Okay. And so when you said June, was that June of 2020 when they shut?
Correct.
I see.
Oh. Yeah. And then June, they shut down the reservation and told everybody to stay home and quarantine. And then at that time, it, you know, the respiratory illness went, you know, through that community like wildfire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, a problem on the Hopi and Navajo nations is that I know in the Hopi, the longevity of men is only 44 years, and for women, it's 54 years because the water supplies are contaminated from radiation. And so their immune systems are already down. And when you start at that base, any little virus, anything that comes through can push people over the edge and unfortunately cause them a lot of other problems, including death, that other people in outside the reservation who have much longer longevity rates and higher immune systems can withstand easier, but not the Native Americans.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I was just like, you know, you're quarantining, you know, multi-generational families in small, you know, homes that may not even have electricity or running water.
Right, right.
And yeah, so of course, and they're going to be affected by any disease process, you know?
Right. Right, right.
Or pathogen, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. As a federal hospital, does your hospital make $39,000 for each so-called COVID death? I know private hospitals do.
I don't have anything to do with the billing, you know, but that's what I see from all the research that I have done. You know, they have changed the ICD codes and, you know, made coronavirus its own little thing. So there was most definitely incentive for naming somebody a corona positive patient. Absolutely.
And where do you get your patients from, Jody?
Primarily the emergency room. They come in through the emergency room and then they're admitted.
I see. What reservations do you serve?
Primarily the Navajo Nation.
Okay. Any Hopi?
Yes, we see some. We have Apache, you know, we have Cherokee, anybody that, you know, has the, oh, I forget the name, you know, if they're their card, so to speak, you know, they can come and receive free health care.
I'm a member of the Cherokee tribes. That's why I was asking.
Oh, so what's that card?
Here.
Well, it's, what do you call it?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There it is.
Okay, Cherokee. Right. Nice.
Yeah, that's Cherokee tart. So, but anyway, my great great grandmother was a full-blooded member of the Cherokee tribe, and anyway, long story. But yeah. But so I am interested. Well, do you guys prescribe ivermectin or hydrochloroquine?
No.
Why not?
No. Because they were told not to.
They want to kill people?
You know, I mean, they're not giving early treatment. Let me put it that way.
You can go over the border to Mexico and buy ivermectin and hydrochloroquine, buy the mm-hmm. bottles for just a couple dollars at any pharmacy in Mexico.
Yes.
Easily.
You can even get it through telehealth. The Walgreens down the street from me has prescribed it to me this entire time. So
Yeah. And it has been effective. Ivermectin is like aspirin in Japan. It was invented mm-hmm. in Japan and it's very effective. Mm-hmm. Do you prescribe a pine needle tea for people with the virus, with anything like that?
No, if anybody has the virus, they are told to take Tylenol or ibuprofen and come back if they can't breathe.
Uh-huh. That's worthless.
It's worthless. It's horrible. Horrible.
Where do these directives come from? Do they come from the Biden administration or where do they come from?
They come from the FDA, CDC.
FDA is run by a former Monsanto corporate attorney. The CDC mm-hmm. is a private organization funded mostly by Bill Gates. So I don't trust their guidance. That's too bad.
I did until this year. Absolutely. You know, all of these policies that they just kept changing and we're like, whoa, where's the science, you know? And
yeah, right.
And we didn't follow it.
Yeah.
We're still not following it.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So what's the protocol for a Native American who comes into the hospital system? Are they told to take a glass of water, take aspirin, then go home and sleep? And is that it?
Pretty much. You have a cough, take, you know, some over-the-counter cough medicine. Here's some Tylenol for the pain. Control your fever. Quarantine. Don't sleep on your belly.
I see.
Sleep on your belly. And if you can't breathe, then come back.
Does your hospital promote the shot, the vaccines?
Absolutely. Oh, like, yes. Like it's sliced bread.
Do they realize there's a 50% death rate in Europe where they've used this against the elderly and middle-aged people, young people?
Well, I would say I hope they don't know that, because if they do, then they're complicit in a lot of death, aren't they?
I'd be happy to send you 200, over 200 medical studies I have. I can prove what I'm saying. So basically, they're instruments of genocidal policy then, of getting rid of the Native Americans where they're supposed to help them. Is that right? I guess.
Well, if you're not treating people early and you're not treating them effectively, I think that's criminal.
And you're administering a vaccine, a so-called vaccine that has a 50% mortality rate, that could be considered criminal as well.
I would think so. Yes. Okay. Yes. Especially if you're talking about your numbers of 50%. I
30
can't
to 50%. It's high. And I can prove
it's
it.
High.
I can prove
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can't speak to that. But what I will speak to is that this is a stage 3 experimental trial that everybody is participating in. And where I have a huge issue with that is the lack of true informed consent. You know, and my oath that I took, you know, my pledge that I took, you know, told me not to, that I promised that I wouldn't do anything that had a deleterious effect, which, you know, is harmful in any way, even if it's a subtle way.
Right.
And so me personally, I've never had to, or I never would inject somebody with that shot. Never.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's good. And you yourself haven't been vaccinated, have you?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. Is there quite a bit of, are they trying to get everybody vaccinated in the hospital, all the staff and doctors too, or?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Are there quite a few people standing up to that or?
No. You know, for our facility, you know, they really were able to, in my mind, you know, push the whole narrative, and they did it very, very well. And there were several of us that spoke, doctors and nurses, staff, lab, that spoke out about it early on and continued to do that. When it came down to them saying, you have to take it, you know, by some October deadline, then I saw maybe 10% of the people that were still left. So 90% of our staff, I believe, had already taken it prior to them mandating it.
Okay. I am a psychic. I do travel into the future. I've been a psychic in touch with the other side for over 27 years. Let me look at the timelines to see what's going to happen to the staff, okay, who've taken it. The people that have taken it, most of them will be dead within 6 months. And the reason why they're pushing it now with these October deadlines, November deadlines, is because the cabal and the negative government only has about 2 months left to push this narrative, because by January, the tide has turned and they will not be able to do it as longer. I don't know what all is going to be happening. I don't know when Biden will be arrested for treason and put in jail. I'm not sure what's going to happen exactly, but all my angels tell me this is the timeline. They've got about 2 months left, hence the October deadline. So if you are a staff worker at one of these federal facilities or a private hospital, don't quit your job if they force you to take the shot. Just let them fire you, because you can maintain a successful employment compensation claim against them for unlawful employment termination in the federal courts or the state courts. But it's after January, the people, the staff like yourself, Jody, who are not vaccinated, will be in high demand, because a lot of people are going to be starting to die off. You'll see that. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Now, there are remedies for it. Ivermectin, hydrochloroquine. There's even prayers that people can do too, that I've used successfully for people. If you want, I can email you a healing prayer. So it's not all doom and gloom. It's just that a lot of professionals, unfortunately, will feel the brunt of it within 5 or 6 months. There's a new study out, I think by scientists here in the States and in France, showing that people's immune system decreases by 5% every 2 weeks after the jab. So after 20 weeks or 5 months, you don't have an immune system left over. And many emergency rooms and hospitals now are getting something called immune deficiency syndrome. Or you may be familiar with acquired immune deficiency syndrome, or AIDS or HIV. They're getting AIDS and they're dying. The other thing that Pfizer and Moderna put in the vaccines is mad cow disease. And that should start kicking in about June to the fall of next year. So even if you survive somehow the vaccine and you don't die in that first wave, actually there's three waves of deaths. The first wave was within 2 weeks. The second wave is within 5 to 6, 7 months. And the third wave is HIV AIDS going into mad cow disease. Most people, according to Luc Montagnier, who's the 1988 Nobel Peace Prize winner from Paris, state that most people within 2 years will be dead.
I've seen and heard many lectures on that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel sorry for your colleagues. But I'll email you a sheet that I use for healing. It does work. It does help people. So it's a death sentence only if you don't do anything about it. I feel sorry for the people who perhaps didn't have all the information, or, you know, were talked into something that they shouldn't have done. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's hard, you know, but the toxic culture that's in the hospital and the bullying that's been going on, you know, people think generally they really, truly believe that if they wear a mask and they take the shot, that they'll get their life back, you know, and
they won't get life. They'll get death.
No, it's sad, you know, because so many people compromised what they feel, you know, in their soul and their intuition not to do it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, felt like, you know, they needed their house and their car and, you know, to be able to survive and take care of their family. And
well, they decided to die.
It's really
sad. Take care
sad.
Of their family.
Well, I mean, you know, die.
I mean, logically, die, logically.
Yeah, yeah, right. And your mind, right. I mean, right. You know, when you compromise your values, you know, it's really hard. I mean, and that was one of the things and reasons for me, like standing up. I've been screaming about this from the very beginning of all the unscientific measures. And I lived my life normal. My whole family, we lived it normal. Mm-hmm. We didn't, you know, I was taking care of COVID positive patients every single day.
Sure.
And I did not do anything different at mm-hmm. home or anything. Oh, you know, I did do something different. I did keep my windows open more. And I had movement, air circulation, mm-hmm. because that makes sense, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, that's why I just feel so sad for these people. I feel so sad that they have just compromised what they know to be wrong and they did it anyway, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was recently a scientific study released about 2 weeks ago out of a researcher who did a study of 5,600 children in Rhode Island, state of Rhode Island. And he found that the children between the ages of 5-11, who all wore masks, their IQs now are 20% below another control group that didn't wear masks. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is that you're cutting off the oxygen to these young kids and adults too. So their brains are not developing and their IQ is lowering. Robert F. Kennedy told the same thing last year that mm-hmm. these masks would cut down on the oxygen, especially for developing children.
Yes. I've been following the experts as well on that. And, you know, they all, you know, agree that, mm-hmm. you know, industrial hygienists, you know, experts in pandemic preparedness and neurologists even, I mean, it's common sense. You know, I think we've just taken, you know, people stop using common sense and mm-hmm. and their propaganda messaging with that 24/7 death toll ticker. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, what, for a couple months, that's all we saw on every single computer screen, every single TV.
Same thing.
And it changed people, you mm-hmm. know, and mm-hmm. those that were easily swayed are, you know, were swayed. And it's tragic. It's tragic. Mm-hmm. I feel so bad.
Yeah,
that.
They believe the lies, unfortunately, Jody. Yeah.
Right. You know,
out of all the people, how many people work in your hospital? Doctors, nurses, professional staff?
You know, I'm going to say it's a small hospital. We have a 12 bed ER, plus some fast track beds, so about 20. 30, 40, 50, only a 50 bed hospital with ICU, med surge, and mm-hmm. in the emergency room. Mm-hmm. So I would think maybe 400, 500 people, maybe.
All right. And what percentage of those have taken the jab, you think?
Oh, at least 90, 95%. Yeah.
Okay. Most of them will be gone by next year. Let me look. Okay. Just a minute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They will gone. They will probably have to close the hospital. Probably. I don't know. They won't have enough people to run it.
So that would be everywhere then?
A lot of places, yeah. It's already happening now in Norway, where they started on the jab program early. Mm-hmm. And the hospitals in Norway are full of people who have taken the vaccine who are dead and dying from it. In Sweden, where most of the medical establishments also been vaccinated, hospitals in a place like Helsingborg right now are operating with 50% fewer nursing capacity. Normally, they have a nursing capacity of 120 nurses. They're down to 60 right now. Other hospitals throughout Sweden are operating at far less levels. They're not going to tell you this, but that's what's happening. And nursing homes in Seattle, if you've got a nursing home population, let me look at the numbers, of 100,000. And let's say 90% have been vaccinated. You're looking at if the figures in Berlin, Germany are correct, then you're looking at least a third death or about a 30,000 death rate in Seattle alone for elderly people in nursing homes. But this government is corrupt out here. They're not going to tell you anything, and neither is the media. They're all going to cover it up. They're not to tell you that. This is an experimental drug that hasn't been tested. All the animals that were used in the Pfizer Moderna experiments all died. So what do you expect the humans to do? Think they're going to live? Right. I doubt it.
Right.
So anyway, but I appreciate, you know, your stand in speaking out against it. Have you been threatened at all or had any problems speaking out against it?
Not a few, but primarily, I think people are just happy that somebody came forward to speak the truth. Yeah. You know, I have since teamed up with American Frontline Nurses, and one of the nurses, Nicole Suratek, that started that foundation, she was blew the whistle out in New York, you know, when this half started last year. And she had a really, really hard time with it. You know, a couple other whistleblowers that I've talked to, Krista Megan Kelly and Tammy Clark with OSHA and the government, like they had a really, really hard time. And for me, I believe like America's ready to hear it now. You know, when they blew the whistle, you know, they weren't ready to hear what they, you know, had told people. And now I believe people are just really dying for the truth, like the truth. And they want to know it. They want to see it. And what those videos did was show people real life, you know. It wasn't my opinion. It was real life and what was actually happening. And I think that's why that spoke to people so much, you know. Mm-hmm. The donations I received is such a blessing.
Oh, sweet. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I've had several doctors from America's Frontline Doctors on.
Yeah.
And so you're active in the American Frontline Nurses. That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's a wonderful group.
Advocacy. Yeah. We are doing it for patient advocacy, but now we are going to start doing it for nurse advocacy. Because like we said, there's so many that know that something's not right and this isn't right. And we want to help them, you know, see it through the entrepreneurship. For nurses, there's going to be a grave need for nursing to go back to homes, you know, and home health care. And there's a lot of options out there for them. And we want them to know that.
Nice. Could you give out their website and maybe your website or contact information if you like an email if you like, Jody?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So that's American Frontline Nurses, all one word. And if they're interested, they can .com. Yeah.
.com. Okay.
Yeah. American.
Okay. Okay. Great. Are you speaking at a conference tonight? You said a fundraiser. Who's the fundraiser for?
It's one of my son's best friends. His parents are hosting a fundraiser for a gentleman running for office.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
A good person.
Well, I don't know. I would assume they run in their circle that he is.
Yeah.
I'll get out there and talk with them more. But I was excited to talk with you tonight, so I wanted to make sure to do that.
Oh, good. Well, I'm so glad my friend James, who was in Las Vegas, told me about you, and I was immediately interested, and I talked to your sister who put me in touch with you. So I'm so glad you're doing the work you are of raising consciousness. I want you to know, as people have health problems and start to die off in your facility, remember this conversation and know that there are spiritual remedies of, you know, that people can use. I'll share with you a healing prayer now, and I'll email it too. Do I have your email? I don't know.
You do. Yeah, you sent me some links yesterday.
Okay, good. All right, good. Mm-hmm. Well, it goes something like this. You breathe down from 10 to 1. You say the number 10 and then breathe in and out, 9, breathe in and out, 8, breathe in and out, all the way down to 1. And if you have problems with the numbers counting down, I can help you with that. Anyway, then you snap your fingers and then you say, if you're a man, you say from the God within me, or a woman, you say from the goddess within me, I command supreme creator and I command supreme creation. I'm happy to send this to you. You don't have to write it down. To heal the effects of heal the shedding I've been exposed to and or the effects of the vaccine. And then you say, I am now healed and I know it to be true. And you say, I know it to be true with conviction. You snap your fingers. And I've seen people spontaneously heal from the shedding and from the vaccine as well, because it does kill people. So it will help. A very simple thing. You can also use ivermectin and hydrochloroquine. Hydrochloroquine is easy to make. You know how to make it? It's really simple. You take three grapefruits and you take the rinds off. And then you take three lemons or three oranges take the rinds off and then put the rinds, only the rinds, not the meat, but the rinds in a pan of water with 2 inches of water on top, good clean water. And then you boil it for 2 or 3 hours and let it simmer down. And then you take a zinc tablet, crush the tablet up, and put it in there in a cup and just drink it like a tea. You can add sugar or honey to it. And it'll give you lots of antioxidants, and it helps deal with the shedding and also the effects of the vaccine, too.
Interesting.
It's simple. It's cheap. There's pine needle tea, if you can find white pine. White pine's around Northern California. It's a pine needle that has five. One root has five different needles on it. Not three or two, but five. You'd have to go on YouTube. I'm not a doctor. I'm getting this from Dr. Lee Merritt of America's Frontline Doctors, of what she recommends.
Okay.
But you can make that into a tea and just drink that. That does help you. So anyway, I wanted to share that. And if anybody out there would like a free remedy sheet, just email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I'll also send you a remedy sheet as well. It works.
Yeah,
well.
Thank you.
Friends, it's all free. So
I mean, the God created the universe for us to use. There's a lot of healing plants and stuff. So
That's true, Jody. Jody, is there anything else you'd like to say to my audience tonight? I really appreciate you coming on and giving us your wisdom. And we want to send you, if we want to make a donation to your efforts, how can we do that?
My son set up a Give, Send, Go. It's at givgivesendgo.com/vaccine whistleblower.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And if they want to support the efforts done with the attorney, I have some attorneys at Cameron Atkinson with WeThePatriotsUSA.org. They've helped out and they're helping out a lot of people.
Good. That's great. Yeah. Let me write that down, because I do get inquiries for people for help. They're called Cameron. What's it called?
Yeah. My attorney's name is Cameron Atkinson, Atkinson.
Okay, great.
And then the organization that's been helping me financially is I don't know where it's not popping up.
That's all right. There's censorship on the internet, so if you can't see it, don't worry.
Yeah, hold on 1 second, because I want to make sure. We the Patriots, USA.org.
Okay.
But really, I just want people to know, you know, not to live their life in fear and all this anxiety and worry and depression. We need to be around each other and fellowship and spread our love and, you know, and help our community. I see so many communities being formed. Schools in other people's homes and co-ops, you know, for people that need food. You know, just don't feel like you're forced to do anything. We are not alone, and it takes a village, and that village is there. You just need to reach out.
Thank you, Jody. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, I appreciate you coming on so much today, Jody. It's an inspiration and strength to talk to you. Because I've talked to other medical professionals, and some of them are panicking and they don't know what to do. A couple of friends of mine have taken MDs who've taken the shot, and I'll try to heal them with my prayers. But it's better if you don't take it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, everybody needs to do a risk assessment, you know, and right. and we do that with in life with everything, you right. know, the risk versus the reward. And if people only just looked at that, what is your risk?
Right, right.
Even without it, it's like our poor children, our
yeah.
poor children. I mean, if you say, do I want to say something? Yes, I do. I want to say your children are not at risk, statistically 0%.
That's true. That's true.
Dying.
That's right. That's right. Because no cases have been right. There's no cases for children in the United States. No, none. Teenagers,
no.
nothing. And yet, no. Pfizer, these correct companies are going into that market with an untested emergency youth authorization poison that's killed all the lab rats.
Yeah. And I've seen so many injuries with children, you know, and our
like
children,
what?
Why would we do that when they're not at risk? Like,
that's
just
right.
stop the madness, protect your children, leave them alone.
Right.
And, you know, and don't succumb to peer pressure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Biden government that wasn't even elected by the American people pushing these shots for little children who are not at risk? Do you think they're criminal?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Why would you? That's criminal.
It's criminal.
It's absolutely
yeah.
criminal.
Criminal.
To tell a population, you know, that they already have so many cases of myocarditis, pericarditis, all of these issues that our poor kids are having. I mean, it's criminal putting their children in masks.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
It's criminal isolating them.
Right,
and telling them that they need to stay 6 feet away from each other.
That's ridiculous.
It's criminal.
That's
yes,
ridiculous.
That makes me mad. It makes me so mad.
Yeah.
You
these
know?
Kids these kids mm-hmm. are going to be psychologically damaged for the rest of their lives. Thanks to
absolutely.
So-called leaders like Biden over these mask mandates and other state governors. Because these kids are going to be screwed up. They won't
yes.
be able to hug anybody. They won't
are.
Be they already are screwed up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. My son, I pulled him out of school in August, a couple weeks after they had started, because Ducey said that it's against the law to put the children in mask. So I felt comfortable because I pulled him out to homeschool him last year.
Where was this? Ducey? Was that a governor or who was
it? Yeah, it's Governor Ducey in Arizona.
I see. Okay.
And he said it was against the law to put our children in mask. Well, the school overrode that. And I
oh,
said,
really?
I'm taking him out. I'm the school district, the whole school district. And I said, I'm taking him out. And I put him in a brand new school that just started, you know, that said it's a Christian conservative constitutional school.
Good.
You know, we need our children to know the Constitution.
That's
you know,
right.
these are
That's
our
right.
inalienable rights. And they don't know. And I just am so tired of the madness that they have just poured into them, you know, mm-hmm. and it's really sincerely affecting them gravely.
Right. Right.
Just today at his old school, a seventh grade girl stabbed an eighth grade boy.
Really? What was the
yes.
reason?
I don't know. That's what I heard. And it's on, you know, it was on the news. She stabbed him and then she fled over the fence. And, you know, that poor girl, that poor boy, that's
yeah,
insane.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And
kids
in an affluent
it.
Area, too.
It's what? In a?
An affluent area.
Of course.
You know, middle class America. Yeah.
Sure. Right. Of course. Wow. Too bad. Too bad.
So, yeah, protect your children.
When I was growing up many years ago, we had a book. I remember it. It was on the Washington State Constitution and the federal Constitution. Big, thick blue book. I still remember it in my mind. And it was a good book, actually. And now they've taken it all out. Nothing is talked about the Constitution. And it's a shame because people don't know their rights. And they're trampled.
Right,
on.
You don't know your rights.
Don't
yeah,
know your
like
rights,
so. My
yeah.
son's school, they use the 1840s Noah Webster dictionary to teach them.
Really cool.
Yeah, it's called Wonderful. Noah Webster based learning.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Really wonderful.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So we have options, everyone. I want them to know that. Like, let's go back to community and fellowshipping and talking to one another, right. You know, because right. You have the support.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Jody. Well, my friend, I'm so glad you could come on my show today and give us some words of wisdom. It's really refreshing to talk to a healthcare professional who's awake and realize that the system is flawed and that there needs to be good changes done.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I'd love to come back again. So
I'd love to have you back anytime, my friend. And thanks for making time, because you were at this fundraiser tonight and I took you away from it. But
It's important to get the message out. People need to hear of hope and you know, and what's in store potentially, you know?
Great. Great. I'll let you know when I run it. But I'm so glad you could come on today. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Jody. Have a beautiful day. And thanks again for your good work. Bye-bye.
Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and for all your beautiful love and support. I know if we all work together, we can and will make this planet a much better and a happier place. And I'd like to end on a positive note as well and like to reiterate the message from the Aboriginal elders from Australia that we played earlier. I just want to read this back to you. This is a message to all peoples of the planet. They say your DNA is sacred. That's the blueprint for being human. It is crucial for your connection to self, to your country, and to your spirit to protect your DNA and stand in your true power. They also say no to coercion and yes to freedom of choice. And united we stand. And I think that's very so important today, because what these big pharma and these corrupt governments are doing around the world, they're messing with our DNA by shutting down our chakra system, by shutting down our pineal gland, by changing our DNA permanently with the mRNA technology. They are changing us from humans to something else. And I don't like that something else. That something else are black-eyed babies without any souls. They have no pupils. And they are not human anymore because they have no chakra system and no pineal gland. This is exactly what Rudolf Steiner talked about back in 1917. He actually was a time traveler. I've read his materials, a wonderful man who came to this point in history over 100 years later. And he saw how greedy medical doctors interested in only in money were giving people these shots, and they didn't care that people were dying and also losing their souls, because once your soul's gone, how can you get it back? So I want everyone to be strong. There's a window of opportunity now for, according to the negatives, they think that there's a window of opportunity for themselves to try to stop her ascension between now and early January over the next month and a half or so. So I want everyone to stay strong, because this will be over soon. And all of these measures will be thrown out, because I know people around the world will stand up to this tyranny. And with that, what I'd love to do is to end with today's show with some words from John F. Kennedy, who I talk to frequently. Also, I want to just tell you that Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit, listener-supported station, and your support is really appreciated. Tomorrow, for my listeners and supporters, I will have a meeting with everybody by Zoom. The link is www.zoom.us. The event number, just click on join a meeting and put in this event number, 489-067-3147. Again, that's 489-067-3147. I give free brief readings, and it's just all fun to talk to people around the world and see how they're doing. So that'll be tomorrow at noon Pacific time on the West Coast of the United States, and anywhere in the world you can join for free. With that, I'd like to play John F. Kennedy's Ask Not speech, and I'll say some words after that. Thanks so much, Don, for playing that. It's just 30 seconds long. Thanks so much.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you. but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
On behalf of all the great spirits who helped me write this book, it's their messages, messages from the masters, including President Kennedy, Nikolai Tesla, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and many other, and Abraham Lincoln, and many other great spirits, including Dr. Masaru Emoto and Nostradamus. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. If we all work together, I know we can create a much better and happier world. And I'm sending you all lots of love. I hope you all have a beautiful and happy week. And remember, please stay strong, because this nightmare is going to be over soon. And we will be entering into a beautiful new earth where people will live in peace and harmony and experience true joy and happiness. That's our destiny. We would be having that now if President Kennedy hadn't been assassinated back in 1963. But we're being supported by the Supreme Being, the Creator, who created all that there is, including this planet. I know we're getting help from angelic sources, as well as many other benevolent extraterrestrial civilizations are also helping us as well. So on behalf of love and light, I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend. And again, thank you so much for listening today. Bye-bye, everyone. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye again. Thank you so much.